I was more thinking, you know, that James Brown bit, you know, Mind Train with my James Brown or something. But I was thinking in terms of doing my usual stuff, that I didn't open your box and Don't Read Kyoko, you know,
why?
Series of Why and all that. I was doing my usual stuff. And
do you have someone today, I mean, of the contemporary group, Yoko or John or both, that you think is, say, for now and for tomorrow, who's really creative in the music field, groups and or singles of people? I mean, I ask you that because you can speak as peers on top, looking ahead to the future. Do you have someone that you really have respect for?
Well, of the current sort of mob, there's nobody I'm particularly over-impressed by. I think Elton John and James Taylor and Carole King are all very competent, but they don't exactly blow my mind, you know. And I don't know, there was sort of 10 years almost between us and Elvis and Johnny Ray and the predecessors. I think probably in 72 or 73 something's going to come out which will really be interesting, you know. So far, most of it's just sort of a rehash, you know. And there's nobody I'm particularly blown with. On the contemporary scene, I think we both appreciate Zappa's intellectual struggle to get through to people. And I appreciate a lot of the stuff he does.
Yes, we have a great sympathy with him, you know, with Zappa.
But because nobody will ever touch like the James Brown and Richard and Barry for me, right? Unless something fantastic comes out. But I haven't heard anything that really, you know, blows my mind. I like things like T-Rex, you know, but that's because it sounds like early rock.
That's why I really like you to hear Mind Train. You know, the kind of thing I'm doing, Mind Train. Yeah, but I mean, Mind Train, when you say what's going to happen, you know, next. I mean, Mind Train, you, AML, that's one direction, you know what I mean? It really has a lot we can do in that field, you know.
I like Miles Davis, too. I can't think of anybody just on the current pop scene that really blows my mind, you know. Yeah, occasionally, like when Dave Berry came, or I think it was Dave Berry, some guy in England, just suddenly came out with that He Ain't Knockin', you know, an old rock song he'd done in a barn in Wales. I thought that was beautiful. I like that. I like T-Rex's Get It On or whatever. You know, there's a few of them that sound the same.
That's good. I hear You Knockin' was the top-selling single in England about 4 or 5 months ago.
Right.
The song, of course, very old, but it did have a reminiscent
sound. Yeah,
it was
called Updated Sun,
sure.
Which is like, it's the sound I go for, you know. People said on the last album, I know you've left it too simple, you know, you listen to Heartbreak Hotel, it's only got a bass, piano and a guitar on, you know, there's nothing there and a tape echo on his voice. And people think about the last album, oh, well, he's lazy, or he can't arrange, or he can't do it because he's only had a bass, piano, and guitar on it. That's all I wanted, you know. That's the most interesting format.
That's very Shibui, you know. In Japan, it's a sort of a haiku form, which is like simplicity itself. It's a very refined form. Everything in the Japanese art is sort of influenced by Zen, you know, Zen Buddhism. And it's that kind of form that he didn't know about Shibui and poetry, haiku and all that.
Shibui is like the word for soul, you know.
You know, and when he went to Japan, you know, he found it in Japanese haiku and he said, oh, it's like my stuff.
Yeah, fantastic poetry in called haiku. I suppose many listeners know about it, you know. I just came to it only last year. And it's they say it all in three lines, you know. There's a specific meter they have to write it in, but it has to be said in three lines. And they say in three lines what, like, Byron or Shelley take 4 pages to say. 50 pages, whatever, you know, they just say it, man, right in three lines, and it's beautiful. And I really like to get my songs down to three lines.
You did that in your book.
I wasn't conscious about adapting the classic form. It's not really a classic form. To Japanese, you see, my things would be considered very Western. They would say, well, it's Western influence or something. To the Westerns, I think they would see very classic Japanese influence in it, which is right, you know. I mean, but and the Japanese wouldn't notice it. I think when I went back to Japan, I was surprised by the influence in my music by Kabuki, for instance, you know, the Kabuki theater form, Kabuki way of singing and all that. I didn't see the connection before. I wasn't aware of it. And, you know, I saw it now. And if I can go back to my album, it had a Midsummer New York, for instance, you know? It's very Western, probably, rock, all that, but I was thinking in terms of simplicity, you know, it's like haiku, you know, and simple, very simple arrangement, like, you know, we're not using any electronics or anything like that. My voice is not processed in any way,
except
you know.
Except for tape echo.
Right, except for tape echo. So that kind of thing. And I feel, you know, I was thinking in terms of haiku.
What about that cover of Why somebody did? There's a record came out of this, the best of Lennon, McCartney, Harrison, and Ono. We were very thrilled. You know, it's a real sort of rip-off cheap record, but it, and they've done a cover of Yoko's Why from her last album.
You know who was singing?
A machine. They had a machine. They did the
Moog.
It must have been a Moog. You see, they copied the bass riff, the drum riff, and Why, like Mind Train, were just like, all, you know, jam sessions, like one take when they got in the mood. And they tried to copy a jam session. Oh, so they did the bass parts and all the parts exactly like the session we did. And they had this thing over the top that sounded quite like her at some point, but it was nothing like the real feeling that she gets into it.
Well,
and a lot of people
Larry.
Think that her voice is gone, that we put it through a Moog and that.
No, we
if
don't
you see her perform live,
yeah.
Her voice is exactly the same. And the reason I tape echo everything, A, because I love it, because all the rock records had it. And tape echo was a kind of imitation of live sound. You know, when you got in a dance hall, your voice would echo around the hall like mad. So when you were doing like a whole lot of shaking or whatever, you didn't need a tape echo on stage because the natural acoustics did it. I think that I'm in love with tape echo. That's why I dig Phil Spector so much. And
yeah.
I think the tape echo king.
Yeah.
You know, if you took everything away out of Spector's life, as long as he's got the tape echo, he can produce great sound for you. He doesn't need anything else. Tape echo.
My baby or something.
I mean,
you know?
Sometimes you're in the studio, we're playing. When Spector's in the other room, it depends if we're allowing him full control or we're whichever way it's going. And Yoko and I perform in the group and go swinging like mad. And we've got a really little tight sound. We go in there and he's got this vast orchestra sound like
he's playing.
Really
Midsummer New York, you know, they're shaking bit. That was very interesting. You see, because I'm an outsider, so the kind of things that I get interested in are very different, you know, from the real rock singers, I suppose. And, you know, the usage of the word shake, you know, in rock. The concept of shake in rock is very interesting because it's a positive one. You know, when you talk about shake, you know, in something else, you think in terms of insecurity or something negative, you know. So I always wanted to make a song that has, I always wanted to make a song that has a double meaning of shake, you know, my heart's shaking and, but my body's shaking. That's it, you want to?
Yeah, while she was talking, I just remembered in Grapefruit, she has this piece called Shake, right? And when I was playing at Jerry Lee Lewis's Whole Lot of Shaking, practically whenever I make a record, I always put Whole Lot of Shaking on. If it has that guts and feeling to it, I'll okay it for the engineer, right? With Mother, especially on that last album, I was playing Whole Lot of Shaking, then playing Mother, and playing Whole Lot of Shaking, then playing Mother to get that feeling in the piano. Well, she's got a piece here called Shake. It's from a dance event that she posted. Before I knew her, these things, little instructions had come
the
to them.
Conceptual dance.
Yeah, it's conceptual dance. She sent little cards out to people for 13 days, and it was called a 13-day dance festival. One of them was an instruction that said, shake, go shake hands with as many persons as possible. Write down their names, try in the elevator, tube, escalator, street, toilet, on top of the mountain, in the dark, daydream, on the clouds, etc. Make it a nice handshake by holding a flower in your hand, perfume or wash your hands, etc. This was 67, but her flower bit, she was doing flower power protests in London on her Bottoms film in 64 or something, you know, about 2 years before the flower power thing hit.
And
she'd been wandering around doing these things.
We
were singing, you know, I was singing about it and she was writing about it and performing about it. And it's incredible, like she said about the imagery, which is so similar. Although,
oh, do you want to bring the record cover up where you say something and I say something on your record cover and you say something on my record cover? Because it does show. Oh, here it is, John.
Oh, yeah, there they are.
Well, anyway, it's so funny.
On her album, on my album, on the back, there's a picture of me lying down that she took with. These are Polaroid photos, by the way, in case listeners have got it.
No problem.
Yoko took the photo of me on the front of the album. She took a photo of me and then at the same time inside the Polaroid, superimposed a painting that was in the hotel room of a cloud. The backside is also a Polaroid, though you'd never believe it. With this, it's just a painting I'm lying down by. I'm just sort of lying on the windowsill with the painting stuff. But on the back, I took this cloak because I call the album Imagine. And in her grapefruit, I found this piece. Lots of her things that say, imagine this and imagine that. It says, so I quoted it on the back of the album. Imagine the clouds dripping, dig a hole in your garden to put them in. Yoko 63. I thought, wow, you know, that's Imagine for you. So I couldn't think of anything quite so profound to put on her album. But I did put on the back, love is having to say you're sorry every 5 minutes, John 71. Because I don't think that guy knows anything about love, talking about love is never having to say you're sorry. I've never yet met anybody in love who never had to say they're sorry. So that's my quote, love is having to say you're sorry every 5 minutes.
Sounds like I'm an aggressive sister, you have to say sorry every 5 minutes.
No, it's just that, you know, with love, you only have to sort of blink wrong and a lover gets things.
I did marriage with you, Yoko.
Yeah.
Let's do.
You want one word back to me?
No, not necessarily one word. We have one or ten. If I throw the one word, let's say it is poverty,
hunger. I was never poor in the fact that I never could eat, but we often lived on porridge for a few days, right? So it just sort of takes me back to childhood. There were moments of sort of near complete poverty that I went through.
Vietnam,
racism. Now that's all I had to say about Vietnam. I just know one thing, that they've never dropped atom bombs or napalm on any whites anywhere.
Religion.
That was the racist war.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Go on.
Religion.
Religion is means. Well, let me say that one person said, opium is the religion of the people. And the way things are going, religion is going to be the opium of the people. I think, as I say in the song, imagine no religion. I'm not against people having a faith. I'm not against people worshipping or having what they consider contact with God, etc. All I don't like is the Christian concept, which has been on for 2,000 years, of trying to ram it down somebody else's throat. I believe everybody has to find their own way to God or whatever they want to call it. I don't like groups, let's say. I don't like, you know, cliques, not groups, you know, whether it's a religious group or a political group or anything else. Yoko and I have been through a lot of jazz, and we've very nearly joined cliques and or groups, whether it's a political group or a religious group, like Maharishi was my trip, or Woman's Lib, anything. We discovered that whatever group you belong to or try to belong to, you can never sort of really make it through group.
Never be yourself. You can't
have to be yourself first. When you're yourself, you allow somebody else. If I'm myself with Alex and with Scott and you, I'm forgetting your name, sorry, Tom. If I'm myself, if Yoko and I are ourselves with you two, you can be yourselves with us then, because we allow you to, and then you allow us to. Then we don't need no group to tell us how we can behave with each other. We therefore have a community of being ourselves amongst us four. We don't have to bring it from outside for somebody to say, this is the rules and this is how you can behave. We do it. We'll behave properly ourselves. We'll allow you to think. I'll allow you to be. You'll allow me to be. And then it'll go from there. We don't need
Group is a limitation, you know. In a group, you have to cut yourself to a certain size that's acceptable in a group, you know. But if you're an individual, you don't have to do that. I mean, this is a society of democracy and all that, and a free society. I mean, we should be allowed to be ourselves, at least, you know.
It's surrounded by conformity. That's
conformity
is you have to conform to whatever the rules are.
Repression is all. Yeah. So I would say that, you know, like people say, but why do you, John and Yoko, have so much energy and all that? It's simple. We don't use 80% of our energy in repressing ourselves and in trying to conform to the ways of society or being proper, you know. Everybody's trying to be proper. And because, you know, being proper is so unnatural that in order to be proper, you have to use a vast amount of energy every day to control yourself, you know, like control even your head, you know. Things that you think are supposed to be not good. So
people
you
are continually centering
that.
Themselves in their own head. They waste so much time and energy centering their thoughts or centering the way they look. They don't have any time to live, right? Mm. And that's what groups or cliques or
things like that
do to people. I understand the need for people to be together in the community, but they don't need to call themselves,
That was an
experience I also had with the Beatles, although it was a fine and beautiful experience. Of course, to work with four people, where four people have an equal say, that means somewhere along the line, you've got to cut yourself down to all be 5'1" or all be 5'8". Mm. It's impossible, and that's why we've staved off having a permanent group for the Plastic Ono Band. Although, as things go on, we've started deciding, well, instead of having, we can have a nucleus group for the band. So I'm just bringing this in out of nowhere. So at the moment, we have Klaus Voormann, Jim Keltner, Nicky Hopkins, Phil Spector, who wants to go on the road as rhythm guitarist for some unknown reason, Yoko and myself, and possibly Eric Clapton. And we would have a nucleus group we'd take on the road, and like any locals or any people we decided could augment us or, you know, join in or whatever it was.
Something
but though
that,
I was fighting that having a group, you know, where this is what people expect when you go on stage. They expect you to perform this, that, or the other. I still want to keep in performance, that allow ourselves to do what we want, when we want, and not have to just go up and sing hits, say.
That goes with the composing of music too, you know, because say if you limited people into playing particular notes, you know, and control them from that point of view, then nothing new comes out. When we're jamming, and I believe in jam, something fantastic comes out, you know, that I don't even dream of, you know, and allowing is the thing, you know. When you allow things happen that sort of transcends you and everybody, you know, and it's beautiful. And that's what we're going to do with this group that, well, it's not like a group, it's like a marriage of, you know, our marriage is like a marriage of two minds, you know? It's like being friends. Physically, it's like being friends, you know, because we sort of live together and have a good time, coordinate together and everything. But mentally, it's a real marriage, you know, of two minds. And this group would have a sort of a direction, a new direction, you know, together. The direction is togetherness, you know? But other than that, it's complete sort of freedom, like allowing.
There'll be no contracts, there'll be no, you know, you have to do this or that. The group will be allowed to come and go as they please. They don't have to do anything. And we want to take a show on the road that doesn't just have... I was just writing to Eric, actually, and I was saying this to him. We don't want to have this concept of us gods and superstars on stage and blessing the audience with our vast talent. I want to somehow involve the audience, whether it's through theatre or happening going on in the audience, some way that the audience is, expresses themselves at least as much as we do, because we go up there almost...
Look, I have to say one thing to the female lead, because I'm a devout female lead myself. I'm a lucky woman in a sense that I have a very understanding husband about the subject, and so, you know, it's easy for me. But still, I go through the same problems and pain that socially, you know, the same problems and pain that other females go through every day, that is. And I don't see how female in this society can be happy at all or look like smiling all the time or something, because if we look morbid, formidable, I mean, you know, that's being straight, because it's a terrible world, you know, like it's for the blacks as well, but it's the same. And what I want to say to the female lib is that don't be afraid of men, you know? I mean, if we are afraid of them, you know, hating them is being afraid of them. If we hate them and be afraid of them, we're never going to have freedom. In other words, this world, 50% is men, 50% is women. We have to find a way to live with each other, you know? Live together. And for that, we can't be afraid of them. We have to, instead of thinking of sort of excluding them from our life, think in terms of
problem word, which came up in one word answer before. I hope him recalls one word, drugs.
Drugs.
I will have to break it down, I think,
everything,
right?
Drugs, the immediate thing I think of is just like, you know, who isn't taking one form of drug from cigarettes to aspirin. I know it sounds like a cliche, but we must never forget that the only drug I've ever been hooked on is cigarettes. And people always talk about the symptoms of drugs, you know. They look upon the young junkie as, you know, somebody who's sinned. Oh, by the way, the original word, translation of the word sin, was mistranslated in the Bible. The sin actually means seed that went to waste. Faith means seed that was made use of, meaning seed, you know, to procreate with, right? And there was no moral in that concept. Sin and faith were just two expressions. And I think people talk about the symptoms of drugs, like, you know, these hippies, you know, dropping out, etc., and blaming the kids for taking drugs, which is a lot of rubbish, because the society that makes... We're in a society which we all are responsible for, but this society we have built for ourselves makes it such that none of us can live without one form of drug or another. Now, what kind of society is that? And instead of just having adverts saying, you know, we're going to talk straight about dope and it ain't no good, says Art Linkletter, I think they want to get down to finding out why is everybody, from Art Linkletter and his beer to us with our cigarettes or whatever it is, why are we doing this? Why are we in a society? What kind of society is it that makes us have to take drugs to protect ourselves against society? That's
the
what
reason
it
for
me.
That, you see, we don't have to protect ourselves if we only communicate totally. So I believe in total communication. Total communication equals peace. The reason for that is because unless we dispense with all violent feelings we have, we'll never have peace, right? It's the feeling, you know. I mean, we can't have a peace in form. We have to have peace in substance. And unless we have, we dispense with all violent feelings, we just can't have peace. And to dispense violent feelings, we have to be able to communicate with each other. Violence is just an emotion that comes out when you can't communicate. It's simple as that.
Like,
you know,
a child.
It's like a child, a 5-year-old child, the first violent feelings he experiences when he says mommy, and mommy doesn't answer him. He goes on saying mommy, mommy, and then finally he starts to hit him, you know, saying mommy, listen to me. And that's a form of violence. And that's why if everybody can communicate, which means communication is like love, you know, appreciation of each other, exchanging, sharing,
allowing,
right. So if everybody can communicate and if the whole world has total communication, that is when we would have peace, you know. And that's why artists' role in this society is so important. When I say artist, of course, what I mean is everybody's an artist. In that sense, everybody can be an artist. And that part of our characters we should really develop to a full extent, because when we communicate, you know, and we have peace, and it's so important to communicate, it's no word for it, but we can do it as long as the first step is to realize the need, the necessity in our minds to communicate. And if you have necessity would create imagination as how to communicate. That's why I'm saying it's not the that medium is the message, but the message is the medium, you know, meaning that anything, any message that you give in any form.
I got a message today.
Yeah.
Really?